We're going to begin, and we're going to study this idea, or I shouldn't say it's an idea, it's what God commands of us, and that's the worship of His people. So let's pray, and just let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me, because you don't really need to hear from me. You need to hear from the Lord. So, Father, I just pray that as we study the Bible and as we look at the words of Scripture that you gave and inspired from the Holy Spirit through those you chose to write this, I pray, Lord, that the interpretation of it, Father, that the presentation of it, Father, and the receiving of it is from you in heaven. And for those things that are not of you, Lord, that we just throw them out and just get rid of them, Father. But the things that, Father, are from you, we desire to change us, to enable us, to empower us to be the men and women of God that you smile over, that you look to say, well done, good and faithful servants. That's what I want to hear when I get to heaven, is well done, good and faithful servant. I know that everybody in here would desire the same thing, Lord. We're here by your grace and your mercy, and that alone. And because of that, Father, we treasure this opportunity to be your representatives in this time and in this season of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm going to give you just a brief introduction of what worship truly is. We're going to break it down in the weeks to come, but I want to give you just a brief introduction of what true worship is. Okay, not what we as the church through the years have kind of molded and shaped to be, whether or not you come out of a church that, you know, you're back and forth with just, you know, the pastor says something, then you say something, the pastor says something, you say something. You know, God created us for relationship. That's why I have you guys share in the church, and that's why we share, because we have multiple gifts, and we all have different giftings, and we want the full picture of what God has to say. So it can't just be pulpit ministry. Can't be the choir singing to you and the pastor just preaching to you. It's got to be inclusive. It's got to be a better understanding of what God wants to accomplish. That's why he says, I want unity. You know, he desires churches and pastors and people to come together and bring all of our gifts together so that we can get a better picture of the nature and the character of God. And of course, where two or three are gathered, it's much stronger than where there's one, right? So this is what I believe the heart of God is. And so when it comes to worship, we really need to understand, because God commands it, that his people, that whom he's created, worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're going to study that aspect. But let's just get an overall picture today. I believe that there's dimensions of worship that you and I have never experienced before. To think that we've arrived and we've got it all, and we understand exactly what God wants, and we've covered all the dimensions of what true worship really is, would be a little arrogant. I think it would be a little presumptuous on our part. Because I think that worship, you know, the angels of heaven are worshiping God, the heavenly host is worshiping God, and you know, unless, you know, you've been up there and seen that, you know, you don't know what all of those things, you know, you don't have a crown on your head, you're not throwing that on his feet yet, right? But there are those that are throwing crowns at his feet, and one day we're going to get a crown. Revelation tells us we're going to throw it at his feet, right? So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen and be construed as worship that I think that we just haven't really experienced yet, okay? Just as my scope of worship, and think about this in your own life, okay? Your scope of worship is like my scope of worship was in its infancy, like a little infant, I guess you would say, when I first got saved. How about you? When you first got saved and you walked into church, what did you experience? Because that's what you're going to take with you everywhere you go. I grew up in a Lutheran church. And the Lutheran church, pretty much, for the most part, you sat there. And I just repeated whatever it was the person up at the front, the pastor, told me to repeat. And much like in the Catholic church, it does that. And I'm just giving you examples in churches of how the variety. Some have praise and worship teams that are awesome and do all the singing, and others are out in awe of, wow, and they're not really engaged in joining in worship. You know, so there's just different aspects of wherever you've grown up and whatever churches you've experienced of what you perceive worship is. And your perception of worship is only going to be where you've been, right? Or what you've experienced, or maybe what you've seen on TV or something like that. So, you know, worship is participatory. Worship is something that we do individually on our own, and then when we come together corporately. So I think it's important that we understand what the Bible says about that, so that when we are alone with God, we know how to worship, and then when we're corporately together, how to do it with order. Okay? It's not to be out of order, because God is still a God of order, and we can worship, and sometimes it's a little bit more charismatic if people clap and dance and do those kinds of things. And a church that doesn't do that, they're going to say that they're out of order. But see, that's their perspective. You understand what I'm saying? The Word of God says you can dance. Not provocatively, but godly dance. You can clap your hands. It says if you don't, the trees will. If you don't cry out, the rocks will. But if you're in a church that doesn't do any of those things, they're going to think we're out of order. So I'm trying to say that your perspective matters, but the perspective you need to have needs to come from this and not where you've been. Okay? Even here, you know, there's things for us to learn. We've not arrived. If we say that, then we're proud and we've sinned and we're in trouble. Okay? So my worship was in its infancy when I first got saved. When I first got saved, I only knew what I knew. But then, you know, as you mature in Christ, you begin to understand that there are, wow, I got past chapter one. I got past the first book. I've got past 66 books now. Now I've taken in a lot more. Now I understand. But my theology, in other words, what I know about God, has changed through the years because I've read more. And the Holy Spirit's given me a better interpretation of things as I mature and as I receive it. And He can trust me with it. So understand that we're all at different places in this. So please receive it as I give it. I'm just going to give you what the Word of God says, okay? So when I first got saved, at first I thought worship was just singing in church. We're going to go worship God. So on Sunday morning, we're just going to go to church and we're going to sing. And that was the summation of worship for me, singing. I was used to simple hymns and choruses. The current worship that we do today and stuff like that, that was like, whoa, that wasn't even around. And to be honest with you, when the first Christian worship came out, that was not just hymns. And we need to be singing hymns. Some of those old hymns are awesome, and that needs to be part of our worship. I think God enjoys hymns. I think He likes country music. I think He likes country music and stuff like that. He likes it all because He made us in His image, and we all have different likes and such. So we can sing Christian songs country-wise and hymns and deep spirituals and the current music that we have today and stuff like that. But when we started singing songs like we sang this morning and stuff like that, in its infancy, it was a little hokey because they didn't know how to really, I don't think it was as inspired as much as it is today to do that, okay? And that's important. You can sing any song in the world, but if it's not inspired, it's not going to move you to worship God. The Holy Spirit's got to be on it, and I believe He can be on any part of worship, whether it's a hymn, it's a contemporary song, a psalm, a spiritual song, or even one that you make up. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you making up a song and singing it to God. I think it's kind of like the cards. I used to send Teresa cards, you know, on our anniversary and stuff like that. And then when I forgot our anniversary or whatever, I'd write one real quick. And so I was wrong. I had to repent. But she thought it was like, wow, He did it personally for me. I was like, coming just straight from You. I like that even more. And I'm like, thank You for saving me, God. You're all laughing because you've done it. You've written your own cards, right? Come on. Okay? But there's something personal and intentional about doing that. So when you're washing the dishes, or you're at home in the yard working, if you're singing to God, Lord, I just love You, Lord, and I worship You, and I praise You, and you're making up your own songs, that's okay too. That comes from the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying to you is that when it comes to just the song part of our worship, don't limit yourself to what we're singing here in this morning. Go home. If you love the old hymns, throw the old hymns on. Or if you like country music, Christian worship, you know, sing those. But God just receives what's done in spirit. That's what I believe spirit and truth means. It's coming from your heart. It's truly coming from you saying, you're God, I'm not. I realize the world's in Your hands. And it's where I thank God You've got it because I'd make a mess of it. And you know, whatever comes to your heart, just be true. Just be you, right? So it's not just singing in church and simple choruses and hymns. So when the beat picked up, now I'm talking about myself, I started out with just singing hymns, you know, back and forth in a church. And so when that beat started to pick up a little bit and hands started to clap, right? And the band began to play, and the people came alive. They started clapping and dancing and shouting, because that's when I moved into a different church that was a little bit more Pentecostal, you might call it, or charismatic, and that started to happen. You know, what do you think happened to me during that time? I thought this worship expression seemed disorderly and irreverent. I'm just being honest with you. When I moved from what I knew into what was more extroverted, if you will, more exclamatory, even though the Bible says there's going to be loud cymbals and shouting and dancing and all that in heaven and stuff like that, I thought it was irreverent. Because I came out of something that told me it was irreverent. You understand where I'm coming from here? Just because you've not experienced it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you haven't experienced doesn't mean that it's not of God. Now, you better measure it against the Word of God, because that's how we do that. We discern what's right and wrong based on the Word of God. But if you've grown up in something and that's all you know, that's all you know. So when you walk into a church like ours, if you're coming out of a very conservative church, at halftime, you're usually out the double doors. I say halftime. During the giving time is a perfect time for you to exit those doors. Hey, Jake, how nice to see you. I'm glad you're still sitting here. Because sometimes when new people come in, they make a bolt out of there because they just don't know this aspect of what church should and could be like. We're supposed to be real. God knows you're real at home. Why do we come into church and change and get stiff and do all those things that we think are so reverent to God and other things are irreverent? David danced before the Lord and his wife told him he was being irreverent and all that kind of stuff. And David said, listen, honey, I don't care what you think. I care what God thinks. And that's what we want to study about worship, about what really is the truth here. Because clapping and dancing and shouting, that is part of worship. But it can seem disorderly and irreverent if you're coming from, again, a place of a lack of understanding. But let me tell you one thing. When I did go to that first church that was clapping and dancing and doing those kinds of things, I could tell that the people were truly expressing their love to the Lord. Although my flesh had a complete aversion to this animated approach. My flesh was like, ugh! I mean, raise my hands. There's a Christian comedian that describes it kind of like, when we first start out and get a little more charismatic, instead of sitting there like this, we kind of sit there like this. And then we get a little bit more understanding, charismatic, and then we kind of do this. And then as we get a little bit more, it's kind of like, and then I was like, yeah. And then it's, yeah. And then it's, yes, David danced and stuff. And then it's like, oh my God, I look just like them. Her family was like that when I met her. And I went into her brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house, and they had scriptures written on their cupboards, and they were dancing and clapping and stuff like that. And I was like, when do we leave? I was trying to find a corner how to get out of here. And then years later, I'm in there, and I'm doing the same thing. And I said, I've changed. I'm just like them. I'm those weirdos that I used to talk about. And I would. I'd call them, they're a little bit extravagant and a little weird. And I'm starting out like this because you got to have that understanding coming into what worship is, because the scope of worship is very broad and it goes beyond even everything that we do in here. It's a lifestyle and it's 24/7. And we'll get to that part. But my flesh, it didn't like it. But you got to get past your flesh if you want to grow. Because God ministers what? Spirit to spirit. He doesn't minister spirit to flesh. It says in the Word of God. Okay? So we got to get past our flesh. I sensed again, some of the people were experiencing something that I had no clue about. And frankly, I was afraid of. I was afraid of it. And what I might find out. And what might happen to me if somehow I got caught up in it. But it's not about us. It's about Him. And when I got over myself and knew that church wasn't about me anymore and it was all about Him, it was easier for me to understand biblically what was appropriate. And again, based on some personalities, even though it's appropriate, you may not head down that road. And it's okay, because God knows you. And if your course of worship is simply clapping or sitting or bowing or laying prostrate on your face or on your knees, just make sure that you're being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do during worship and not worried about what the guy on your left or the girl on your right is doing. It's not about them. If you're focused on what everybody else is doing in worship, then you're not focusing on the right thing. I think we're off to a good start, huh? If I haven't offended you yet, just make sure it's a true expression of your love to the Lord, okay? Again, being a student of Scripture, and I am a student of Scripture, I've read this a number of times, and I do study it. I look at the Hebrew and Greek, so I'm not ignorant when it comes to this. I don't know everything. I'm still learning every day something new. I realize when I start learning more how much I don't know. But I do know some of the Scripture. The Lord said that he was seeking a people, and I think you would agree with me if you've got this far, who would worship him in what? Spirit and truth, and not simply be part of a religious service. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't be part of a service that just parrots back and forth, and it's just a system that they've developed, and I guarantee you, you could time it, and you're going to be out right at 11 o'clock, and you know exactly what stanzas you're going to sing, and when the altar call is going to come, and you can predict what's going to happen, and if you can predict what's going to happen, I just sense that maybe the Lord's not quite in it all, because that's man. Man predicts what's going to happen. Man can put an order of service together, and I have always said that. We need order in service, but not an order of service. God wants to start out with the word, we start out with the word. If he wants to start out with praise, pray. Maybe it's just praise for the entire 2 hours, or maybe it's all word for the 2 hours or whatever. If we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, if we're not worshiping in spirit and truth, then what we're doing is just religiosity. Jesus came against that with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They went by the book. And it's not that the book was bad, and it's not that the law is bad. The law, Jesus said, is good. It's just the heart in which we do it with. Do we obey this out of love, or do we do it legalistically and become judges and judgmental? No, spirit and truth, not religiosity, is what we're looking for. You see, we have to look at worship from the lenses again. We've looked at worship from the lenses of tradition. We've looked at it from the lenses of tradition. And mind you, very narrowly have we looked at this, okay? Webster's dictionary defines worship as showing honor or reverence to a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great, extravagant respect, honor, and devotion. And we'll say it again. Now remember, this is Webster's dictionary. That's not the Bible. Webster says, worship is showing honor or reverence to a divine being or supernatural power to regard with great and extravagant respect, honor, and devotion. I think those are words you probably need to look up, because I don't think a lot of times we understand what that truly means. One way to worship is through singing. We all know that. That's easy. When we begin singing, we should be singing to him and not just about him. I think Brett and the guys back there do a great job about putting together songs that are singing to God versus about us, about what we need or about God. We're singing to God. And they know that because that's expressly what we want from worship when we do the singing part of our worship to God. Okay? It's about him. Okay? And so we sing to him. Okay? We're after intimacy and interaction, hence why you see when people come up and share a scripture, or maybe they've had a dream or a tongue or an interpretation of tongues, because that's in the Bible too, okay? Or, you know, whatever it might be where the gifts and the Holy Spirit is working, we provide opportunity for that because God desires that, and they're not going to get it just from me because there's some of those things that I just don't operate in quite as often as other things, okay? So God is after intimacy, but also interaction. You are the church. It's not this building. It's not a praise team if we had one up here and stuff like that. It's not just the pastor. People have to understand that the church is the people. What's that thing? Here's the people in his steeple or something like that. I don't know what they did. When you're a kid, you learn that and stuff like that with your hands. But it says something. The church is you. If you don't bring your worship in with you, you're not going to worship. You're just going to be watching worship. You bring it in. You bring the level of understanding in that you have. And hopefully you'll pick up on a little extra if the anointing is on whatever it is I'm saying or what other people are bringing that they've received from the Lord. It's participatory. And in most churches, it's not participatory. It's observatory. And I shouldn't say it. That's bad. Forgive me, God. Not most churches, but at least a lot of the churches that I've experienced to walk into. We need to understand what the Bible says about worship, okay? So we don't come to church. We bring church into the building. Hey, we're going to church. No, you're going to 1521 East Rutherford Street. You're the church. It's a perspective. I hope you can look at it that way because that's the way God looks at it. Understand that the biblical pattern of worship is based on the surrender of your heart to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we talk about awe and reverence and respect and honor and singing and operating in the gifts, it comes down to this. Have you surrendered your heart to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Because you will only do that to someone who you have surrendered to. It's called lordship. People come up to the altar all the time. You want to go to heaven? Yeah. Well, give your heart to Jesus. Okay, I want to go to heaven. But they live life any way they want. They've made him Savior, but they've never made him Lord. Lord means master, ruler, owner. And in simple terms, like we say with the kids, he's boss. And if Jesus isn't boss of your life, if there's some areas of your life you've reserved and you've not given the lordship to Jesus Christ, you can bet he's going to deal with you on that. He didn't want 50% of you. He claims 100%. When we sing the song, when you've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, hey, if you've given your life to God, when he's given you away to the Father, now you have eternal life forevermore. Wow! I think that deserves a little worship on your part, a little honor, a little respect. And that comes through 24/7 lifestyle, not just singing songs. Whether they be charismatic, whether you're dancing or clapping or laying or praying or down on your knees, it's just whatever it is that's overcoming you. And trust me, the more that you're free, the more that you're able to just say, he is an audience of one, and I'm here to just worship and praise with the rest of my brethren, and I know that here, you know, there's freedom in worship and stuff like that, you're going to find yourself being a little bit more activated. You got a whole body to worship him with, not just your lips. You got hands, you got feet. Just saying. Without a heart that is obedient, without a heart that is submitted to the Word of God, the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Without a heart that's willing to be submitted to something that you learned, maybe you had a theology and this is what I believed all my life until I got to this passage of Scripture and went, oh, I didn't read that one. Or I never experienced that. Unless you have that obedient, unless you're submitted, and those are two words today that nobody likes to use. Nobody wants to be submitted anymore or obedient to any authority. We see that all over. But unless, without a heart that is, we will never experience genuine worship. If you are doing this rotely, if you are doing it because you figure, well, if I do this on Sunday, the rest of my week will be okay. If you're doing it because, well, God said so, but my heart's not really in it. If you're coming to church for any other reason than to say, I am yours, Lord, use me in whatever capacity you want to use me, but I am totally obedient and totally submitted to you, unless you have that kind of heart, I find that we are probably not in genuine worship. And you might as well play golf. Stay home. Right? Back in the old days, he wouldn't receive certain types of worship because he saw their heart. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. God is spirit, right? And those who worship him, that'd be us, must worship him in spirit and truth. Do you know that you are body, which goes back to the dust when you die, soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and spirit. That's the breath of God that he put in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, when you accept Jesus, to come by his spirit to live in you, that's the part that you have to connect with when we come in here to worship God. Okay? That's the part that he wants from you, because he knows that God is basically worshiping God. God is giving himself back the worship, because he's worshiping what? Through us. Because he's God, and he can. So we must worship him in spirit and truth. Verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. We're talking about Jesus. When that one, capital O, Jesus comes, he, capital H, will declare all things to us. Well, he did come. And in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gave us things to understand, to have wisdom with, and to know. But he didn't just leave it as words on a page. He gave us the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us. I don't know about you, but before I was saved and I read this stuff, I thought, oh my gosh, I don't understand a thing. But once the Holy Spirit came to live in me, I began to understand more. And then there's good anointed teachers out there for more. And there's good anointed pastors out there that are preaching. See, we have wise counsel that are out there. People that have read it even more than you have and gone back to the original Greek and Hebrew and have studied it and have extrapolated from this. And the Holy Spirit's talked to them. We can learn from them. But you got to discern what's truth and what's not. So if you're just taking their word for it and you're not doing any self-study, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to wrong theology. You're vulnerable to being wrong. So many people think, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. That's not right. Yielding to the Spirit of God by continually surrendering areas of your life to his lordship helps us to experience true worship. If I said one word, I would say surrender or yieldedness. If that's all you remember today is you yield, right, and he'll produce. You yield and he'll produce. Yield those crops. Give it to him and he'll produce. And again, true worship is not measured by a clock. I don't have a watch on. There's only one or two people that'll say yay. The rest of you are going 12 o'clock is lunchtime, and if you go past 12 o'clock, I ain't coming back next week. Listen, there's going to be times when service may go 3 to 4 hours if the Spirit of God shows up, because you're not going to want to leave. And there's times that you wish it ended at an hour because the Spirit was never there to begin with. I'm just being honest. But it's not. Worship is not measured by the clock, okay? It's not measured. It is measured by relationship. The better relationship you are with the people of God that you are worshiping with, the more comfortable and the more time you want to spend with them, correct? If you don't know anybody, you can't wait to get out because you want to go to be with people that you want to be around. And you should be developing relationships where you enjoy the brethren. It's part of who we are. We're to be able to worship God and love him, and then we're to love each other. Now, there's going to be a circle that you're going to probably hang with more than others, just like Jesus did. You can't be friends to everybody, but, you know, you can definitely choose those who you want to be wise counsel in your life and to be held accountable and submitted to in your life, and you should have that close circle. And then amongst that close circle, you should have a really tight circle, whom those you trust even more, just like Jesus, right? He had the 3, then he had the 12. I always say 13 because Paul was called as an apostle. And then, of course, you know, you have the people that kind of hung out with all the rest of the crowd. So again, it's about relationship, okay? Worship is coming into the presence of God with the right heart and the right attitude. Isn't that with life? If you're a boss of a company, if you're the head of your home, don't you want those that you have authority over, any position of authority? You want those that are coming to you that are under your authority to come with a good attitude. You don't want them to come with a poor attitude. I mean, come on. They need to have the right heart. When I was a physical therapist, I was the director of rehabilitation at Spartanburg Regional Medical Center. I had like 70, 80 people, and I thought, God, how am I going to do this? I can't. I got 80 people. I was used to 3 people, 4 people at the most, and then I get placed in a place where I got 80 people. When I went up to him in my first meeting, I said, there's 2 things I want from you. I want you to have the right heart and the right attitude, number one, and do your paperwork. Because without the paperwork, I'd have been fired. They have to do the right things, right? Without the paperwork, we don't get paid. But I said, the first thing you have is the right heart and right attitude. If you do that, I will fight for you to get raises. I will fight to see that you're taken care of. I will do whatever I can for you. But you got to show me you got the right heart and the right attitude and you do your paperwork. And I did. And I got raises for them. And I was able to do that because by doing that, when they did their part, we made more money. So the hospital made more money. And then I went to the person that was over me and I said, look, we're making you more money. Let's take care of those that are going to make you even more money. Well, I say all that to say when we have the right heart and the right attitude before God, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless the socks off of you. What father doesn't want to bless his children? It's a good attitude. And folks, it's called worship. The right heart, the right attitude. That's worship. It's not just singing songs. Coming through the double doors with the right heart and right attitude and being in relationship with others is part of your worship. It's a willingness to be cleansed. Ooh, here's part of worship. It's a willingness to be cleansed of anything that needs a good cleaning. If you get offended by a brother coming up to you that sees something that may be out of whack and your nose is out of joint a little bit, or you may be practicing something that you shouldn't do it, don't leave and go take your problems to another church. But folks, I need a good cleaning now and then. You need a good cleaning now and then. Accountability is huge in the Christian faith. You need brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to hold you accountable to the truth. And when you take it at first, you're going to go, oh, I don't want to hear it. But then when you wake up in the morning, you're probably going to call that person and say, thank you for rebuking me. Rebuke is part of what God does with us because He loves to discipline the children that He loves. If you don't discipline a child, they become a wild child and nobody wants to be around your child. That's wild. But seriously, you've seen those children that become brats because they have no discipline. They have no order, and they just spew all over people, and they get disrespectful and dishonorable, and there's no parameters upon them. So you're not going to spend time with people like that. Well, that's the same way God deals with us, and we deal with others. We're not going to hang around people that have no respect or honor or discipline when they come into your home, and they come into your home, and they think, you know, well, we can just do anything we want, and they're throwing their feet up on your table, and they're spilling everything all over the place with no regard. Just think about it. This is not rocket science. God wants the respect and the honor that is due Him. And of course, that's far greater than the respect and honor that's due us from other people. But it works the same way. It works the same way, okay? So if you need to be cleansed and you need a good cleaning, get some people in your life that are willing to speak out into your life and give you that advice, okay? It's a willingness to forgive where forgiveness is needed. Folks, I've said this 1,000 times. I can do 100 things right, but if I do one thing wrong, generally it sends people out the double doors. I could do 100 things right in your life, but if I do one, I get a bad hair day. One sticking up there that you didn't like. I said something to you. I passed you by and didn't say hello. Maybe because I had 1,000 other things on my mind, but you felt like I was snubbing you. You're out the double doors. But you forget that there was 100 other times that I was loving all over you and da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying. In your life, don't be that person when somebody has a bad hair day or maybe they just lost, you know, the person at the grocery store line. They're being mean to the cashier and you go up to them and say, hey, how dare you do that and da-da-da-da-da. And they had just lost their husband. And they were just grieving. And they were taking it out on this person over here. The wife that's beating on her husband's chest that says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And she doesn't really hate him. She loves him. She's just venting. That's called wisdom and discernment. And we need it with each other. Don't be so offended that you can't forgive. God says, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. Think of how much you've been forgiven by God. Well, just go and do likewise with people that are in your life. It's a part of worship, forgiveness. You're worshiping God when you obey Him by forgiving other people that have hurt you. Doesn't mean that you condone what they did was right. Doesn't mean that they don't have to go to jail if they committed a crime. But it's your part to forgive. So it doesn't hurt you. You're not hurting the other person by not forgiving them. You're hurting you. They could care less probably. Bottom line is, you can enter worship anywhere, folks, not just in church. The things we're talking about, you can worship anywhere, not just in church. Get a bigger scope of understanding what worship is. Just be available. Live in His presence 24/7. Driving in your car, washing the dishes at home. You know, just be aware that He lives in you by His Spirit, right? His physical body, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but His Spirit lives within. Be aware of it. Be aware of it. It will help you when you're aware of it. Be willing to learn and be willing to change. Whoa. We're talking about worship now. Be willing to learn and be willing to change. If you want to worship God correctly, then you got to understand that you're not the end all of end alls. You got to be willing to learn and you got to be willing to change. That's worship. That's God allow. That's you allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to do a work in you. Working that which is within out. What does it say? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means the salvation that God has placed within you, now that, what is salvation? It's the word sozo. It's not just your ticket to heaven. It's deliverance. It's healing. Let that gifting within you work itself out of you as you grow and you mature. Work out your salvation that you have with fear and trembling. In other words, when you're operating in those things, it's not you. Don't open up the church and think, hey, I got these gifts on this guy, and I've got this personality, and I'm doing all this stuff. You couldn't heal a flea. But when you remain humble and you remain teachable and when you work out the salvation that's within you to the outside and begin to minister to other people, give glory to God. Don't ever stop giving the glory to God. If you just got healed, it wasn't me, it was God. That's when He'll trust you with more. That's worship. And when you worship in spirit and truth, He gives you more to work with. So be willing to learn and change, okay? Honor Him in your difficulties rather than complaining about Him. You want to worship God? Don't complain. Don't murmur and don't grumble, even though you think you have a right to. It won't change your circumstance. What will change your circumstance is by not complaining and praising Him, even in the storm. Honor Him in your difficulties rather than complain. Allow yourself to be broken over your sin. Do not treat sin casually. Let me tell you something. It was not treating casually. There was a great cost for you to have forgiveness for your sin. When you repent of your sin, you realize what it cost to get that forgiveness. And I'm not talking about just murder and stealing. I'm talking about gossip. Anything, you know, God doesn't measure sin. You know, it's sin is sin is sin, whether it's gossip or murder. Yes, there's different levels, we know that. But sin is still sin. Don't be afraid to express your worship beyond your words. Woo, that'll get you. Don't be afraid to express worship beyond your words. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you and say through you. And a lot of times it's going to be in your English language. But there are times when you get just so caught up in God that as just like a little baby who does not know how to speak yet and is not speaking on their own. Oh, that's just mumbo jumbo. That's the tongue-talking people doing that kind of stuff. I don't know if you've ever been under stress. I don't know if you've ever been under a situation where you're just grieving so much. You just don't have the words to say, but you're saying it. With your countenance, you're saying it from your gut. And a lot of times, the words that come out of your mouth are just an expression of what you want to say, but you just don't know how to say it. And that's generally what prayer, when you're trying to communicate to God, is about, and that's your private life. But don't do that in here in a corporate body, because the Word of God says if there is a tongue in the corporate body, it better be interpreted, because if it's not interpreted, we don't know what you're saying. It could be satanic. So God says there's order in the church. If there's a tongue, there. Oh. I've been working on my Bible. Working through my Bible. Somebody said, if you got a Bible that's falling apart, generally you're not. I'll claim that one. My point is, there's order in the church. There are tongues and interpretation of tongues because Paul says it's one of the gifts. He says it's the least of the gifts, but it's still a gift. And there is those times when you just can't express in your own words and you are just grumbling and mumbling before God, but your heart is speaking, your spirit is speaking to God. He sees the level of the turbulence that's going on in you, that's rising up to Him, that's expressing Himself. See, we have to understand those things. That's real. That's reality. You can deny it, but it's real if you've experienced it. There's pastors that have had to leave their churches because once they've experienced that and they're in a church that doesn't do that, the congregation doesn't know what to do with their pastor. I don't believe in tongues and interpretation of tongues. I don't believe it. And all of a sudden, he's speaking in tongues somewhere because he's visiting somewhere. Now he's speaking in tongues. He goes back to the church that doesn't believe in it, and he's out on the street. Trust me. I was in an organization, when I say an organization, we had churches of like-minded churches that are non-denominational churches, and a lot of those pastors that are pastors of those churches were coming out of denominational churches because their churches, their deacons kicked them out because they couldn't hold back. Once you know the truth sets you free, you got to tell somebody. If you remain in a position when you're having to suppress the spirit or quench the spirit, that's the time you need to leave the church. Not because of the color of the pews or because you didn't forgive somebody over here. You go forgive that person and you work it out or do whatever. But if you just don't like the color of the, you know, come on, right? Not growing is a reason to leave. Suppressing the truth, quenching the Holy Spirit would be a reason to leave. You know, there are reasons why you need to put yourself under certain authority in certain places. And that's one of them. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench prophetic utterances. The Bible says that. And yet there are some churches that don't even believe in prophetic. And yet it talks about it in Revelation. There's going to be true and false prophecies. I'm not going to go there because it's almost your lunchtime. Don't be afraid to express your worship beyond your words. You have hands and feet. That's all I'm going to say. You have hands and feet. We'll get into that later. Most importantly, you have a heart. So be sincere. Just be sincere. Just be who you are. Don't get religious on people. But I can't take it when someone's not being who they are 7 days a week. You're this entirely different person. And yeah, under the anointing, you should be different. But the anointing should be there far greater than just an hour a day or on a Sunday. Be real. Be who you are. Don't put on pretenses. Don't put on false religious things. Okay, now I'm in a prayer group, so I better think of the right words to say. No, say it simply. Say it in whatever words that are on your heart to pray. I remember where's Eric McCarty? When you first came into the church and you first started praying and stuff like that, your prayers were the most powerful prayers of anybody in the whole place. And they were very, very simple. He wasn't using Christian ease. Sanctification and justification and all these other vacations weren't coming into the prayers. He was just being real from his heart. And I learned how to pray from him. Just talk to God. That's prayer. Folks, we were created for worship. And obviously, you've seen a lot of more aspects of it here this morning. I'm just doing a general overview. But you were created for a relationship. You were created to be real. You were created to go beyond the songs that are in here and to get into your kitchen and do a little dance in your kitchen as you're cooking your stuff and, you know, you're praising God. You were created to be in relationship with God wherever you go. And to not put on pretenses and don't let people think that you're somebody different one place and another. Don't fabricate your personality to fit whatever happens to be there. Be discerning, say the right things to fit in sometimes, right? Paul said, I became all things to all people in order to win some to Christ. So he knew when to do that. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go into a bar and start downing vodka and tonics in order to minister to the drunk. It means go into the bar, yes, sit down beside him, but don't be drinking the same thing he is. And I'm not saying that alcohol is a sin. Drunkenness is, right? So don't go come in Monday morning, oh, pastor, you know, you're condoning or not condoning alcohol and stuff like that. No, drunkenness is a sin. Having a drink is not a sin. But if you have one drink and you're drunk, it's a sin. Right? Just saying. Be sincere. You're created for worship. So you see, worship isn't just singing songs. Worship is that lifestyle I told you about. okay? Singing, praying, dancing, speaking, proper attitude, lifestyle, all expressions of worshiping God, inside, outside, home, or at church. Psalm 149 and 150 are great examples of how to express worship in spirit and truth from Scripture. So let's move off of me and move into Scripture. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. So there's joy. There should be joy in the house. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. We should be happy about being here. Not singing like this, O God, to whom all blessing. To God whom all blessing. You're right? There's a difference. Let them praise his name with dancing. Oh my goodness, it's in the word of God. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He takes pleasure in you. Who do you think created dance and clapping and all the things you do outside of here, but oh, don't do that in church? Of course do it in church. Be real. Just do it in a manner that's worthy and honorable and respectful. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Well, there's no beds in here. He must be talking about home. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Two-edged sword is the word of God, right? That's like this. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. How do we do that? We said it before. How are we going to protect Israel? With prayer. Because God sends his angels out to do that which we're praying for. To execute judgment on them, it is written, this is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. We're entrusted with this two-edged sword. Let's use it. We're entrusted with prayer. Let's use it. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Hence we're the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. I mean, just look at the heavens and see. Whoa, God. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Just read the book and see what he's already done. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. What he's going to do, what he can do, how big your God is. Praise him with trumpet sound. Get the instruments out. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel. Praise him with dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and the pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. He didn't say soft cymbals. He said loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Now he's going even further. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then he says, praise the Lord, with an exclamation point. Folks, praise is an awesome part of worship. Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Wow, there's a lot of shouting going on here. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's part of your worship. Shouting and serving and coming before him with singing, joyful singing. Notice it's not somber singing, joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. Just know that he's God. It's he who's made us. We haven't done it, not ourselves. We're the people of his and the sheep of his pasture. We're like sheep. Enter his gates, come through those doors with thanksgiving, and then go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness, it's everlasting. And his faithfulness to every generation. Wow. Worship, worship, worship. We just talked a little bit about praise. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Well, what's the difference? Praise brings us into the presence of God, who is love. God is love, right? It says in John, God is love. 1 John, God is love. God is love. He's the embodiment of it. It's not an attribute of God. It's who he is. Praise brings us into his presence. It's there that God brings us into relationship with his goodness and all that he is, because it gets us excited. It gets it praiseworthy. Now we're coming out of the more worshipful, reverent awe on your knees softly kind of mode, and we get into the excitement because there's goodness of God, there's the everything of God, we can get his blessings, we come into his presence with exciting things that we know he's going to do. That brings us to another level of worship. It's not just the worship that's soft and reverent and on our knees and bowed, but it's dancing and clapping and praising with joyful sound. Folks, our concept of God, let me wind this up, will determine our level of praise. Your understanding of God, of who he is, your concept of God will determine the level of your praise. So let me close today with some concepts that should prompt you to praise and worship God in everything that you do. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our peace. He's our righteousness. He's our shepherd. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-seeing. He is eternal. He is faithful. He is just. And he's the embodiment of love and holiness. That ought to get you to worship. That's just some. Folks, his glory is not out there somewhere. His glory is in the temple. Did he not say that? My glory fills the temple. You know where the temple is? You. Yeah, this is a big temple where a lot of yous are, and yous are lambs, and lambs are sheep. Haha, I just figured that out. But there's a lot of yous. You are the temple of God. You were created for worship. You were created to worship in spirit and in truth. It's not God send the glory. It's my child, let me out. I'm going to say it again. It's not God send the glory. It's child, let me out. My glory has filled you. There should be praise on your lips. There should be worship and praise and adoration and dancing and clapping. But my hands won't move if I don't move them. My feet won't move if I don't move them. My lips won't move if I don't move them. The glory of God lives in you. Holy Spirit lives in you. And let me tell you, it's not silent in heaven, not yet. It'll say there will be for a little while, one day. But it should be expressive. You are an expression of heaven. As it is in heaven, let it be so on earth, he says in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot of shouting going on in heaven. There's a lot of joy going on in heaven. There's a lot of crowns being thrown at his feet. There's a lot of prostrate people on their face. There's a lot going on, folks, beyond what we understand as worship. And I'm just trying to get you stimulated to understand that there's a whole nother level, maybe, of wherever you are that you can go to. Every one of us can always go higher and higher and higher. Amen? Last scripture, John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers, rivers of living water. Folks, let worship flow out of you. It should flow. When there's no obstruction, when there's no hang-ups, when you're not measuring what the person to your left and right is doing, when you get rid of all your ideas of what Pentecostal and charismatic means versus conservative and all that stuff, when you're just before Almighty God and you realize who he is, it should just flow out of you, whether you're in a church among people or you're at your sink doing dishes. Remember, our primary calling is our destiny to enjoy relationship with God, not to work for him. Oh, we do work for him, but it should be easy because it's flowing out of love and relationship. So enjoy. Be free to express your love to him however your spirit leads you to do so. And the Holy Spirit will ultimately take over if you are sincere. Amen?